I am not a nerd.
Sci-fi party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and your other host, Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
It's been a long time, buddy.
Too long.
We're having another Sci-Fi Party Line after dark.
Hell yes. Well, that's when the best party is going on.
I'd also like to point out for you ladies and gentlemen listeners out there that it is our fifth anniversary of the Sci-Fi Party Line.
It feels like the second. We're still newbies. We're still just babies on the line, on the internet.
What did you get me? Did you get me a gift?
I got you a wish of goodwill for the new year. I think it's great. It is great, and I pass it to you. I pass it to you.
No,
you're kicking my goodwill to the curb. Is that what you're doing?
I'm just saying you could give that to me in addition to like maybe some jewelry or some
Sci-Fi Party Line jewelry. That's
a hand job, which is a thing now.
Article. I saw.
Embarrassing.
I refuse to pass that on to the Robot Cast folks because look,
you notice I didn't even CC you on that on Twitter.
I appreciate that. I would rather not be copied on robot hand jobs for future reference, folks. Thank you. Yes, I saw that was on there. And you see when you see a technology that is still clearly in beta, you know, you look at it and you're like, I'm not getting my junk anywhere near that. It just, I saw that rickety assemblage they had. It wasn't, the motion wasn't even smooth. I saw, no, that technology is not ready. Guy had their big VR goggles on. That was extra, the extra cool. I said, no, we are not ready. So, I am not going to acknowledge that as a actual technology yet. So, yes, I saw.
Stop it. Oh, my God. That went way further than I thought it was. Okay.
Look, you brought it up. I was trying to ignore it. I've seen that mess for like 3 months now. And people walk up to me on the street. You're the robot guy, right? Have you seen the hand job? No. Get away from me. Get off of me, strange person.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I am blushing right now. My face is hot. Mm-hmm. From so hard. Okay.
Well, and so by the way, so if my robot cast famedom, if you can call it that, was not enough to attract the folks, the fact that in one of the last podcasts of the Sci-Fi Party Line, you just quoted that line about the sex bots right at the top. Right. So if you do a Google search, it's robot cast, robo minister says he likes sex bots. Basically, that's what it says. So now I've got emails coming in. Thanks, Kat. Thank you for making my 2015.
He was like, no, don't take it down.
It's too darn late. You take it down from Google? Yeah, that's going to work. Yeah, it's too late.
The robots will not robotize in search, and it will be gone.
It will not robotize in search, is what you're saying.
I'm sleepy, so yeah. I just had to roll with whatever came out.
You are entirely too techie for me. I can't handle all of that scientific language that you're using. Can we move on?
Okay. So this is the fifth anniversary of Sci-Fi Party Line, but it's not quite Carl and I's fifth anniversary. He came on in May. That's 2009 right. With Terminator Salvation. So we'll probably do this again. And maybe we should do a Terminator Salvation rewatch together and a live tweet and like where...
Why don't we do a good one? All right. So maybe we'll do T2 instead. Because, you know, look, we did Terminator Salvation. Can't jam ham radio. That's all I'm saying.
I wonder, because I only saw it like maybe the once. I haven't seen it again.
That was enough. You really don't need to do more than once. That's plenty.
Okay. All All right, we won't do that. So, also, in addition to the fifth anniversary, we have our, what is it, fourth annual turd off.
Wow, really? That many? Jeez.
For Carl.
Oh my
Have such a
God.
long and great relationship.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Four of these? Jeez, I'm
Four.
sorry, everyone. Four? Oh.
Oh, please. This is the highlight of the year.
Oh my
This,
God.
when I do Manfest, the Sci-Fi Manfest, which I haven't done, I'm like, I'm exhausted when I haven't looked at like shirtless men and put a list up.
Because that was basically all of 2013. Just all the sci-fi, quote, sci-fi movies had men with no shirts on. I don't know what was up with that.
I enjoyed it.
I figured you might, yes.
I don't really remember any bad films.
Yeah, okay, please, let's
Kidding,
do get on
I'm
with
kidding,
this.
I joke. So we have a list, and I'm just gonna run through the list of all the films, the not like all of them, but kind of the ones that we thought you should have seen or maybe whatever. So we got Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Did you see that?
I did not see that one, no.
Me either. Warm Bodies.
I actually kind of wanted to see that, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I didn't see that either. Good Day to Die Hard.
Saw it, and for your record, shirtless, but go on.
It was all right. Jack the Giant Slayer.
I didn't see it. What'd you think?
I didn't see it.
I was a little worried because Ewan Mick what's his name? Ewan was it Obi-Wan's in it. So I was like, And he sounds just like Obi-Wan too. So Obi-Wan the Giant Slayer wasn't moved.
Europa Report, of course, we saw that.
Sure.
Oz the Great and Powerful did not.
I saw it actually. I did see
Really?
it. Yes, I did. Yes,
Was
I
it?
did. It was very Franco. Go on.
I don't
Yeah,
even
that's probably the right response. Go
know.
on.
G.I. Joe Retaliation.
Shirtless again and saw it. Yes, I saw it.
Yeah, it was, The Host.
Yes, as per your recommendation. Your strong
Just
recommendation.
silence, silence. Birdemic to the Resurrection.
Oh no, I haven't seen the first one yet. So no.
Evil Dead.
No, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it. It was decent. You know,
Decent. Okay,
I didn't hate it.
I was tempted.
Wolverine.
Okay, shirtless. No, I haven't seen it yet. I was meaning to get to it, but I did. But look, I had to load up on the turd shows at the end of the year, so it got in the way of my good watching. So
Oblivion, we watched that.
I did. Yeah, so.
Iron Man 3, we saw that. Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah, I think someone was shirtless in that, but that one was good.
After Earth.
Yes, I saw that as well.
Sharknado.
I missed the Sharknado.
You didn't see Sharknado?
I missed the Sharknado. I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
I mean, yeah. Man of Steel, of course. World War
Shirts.
Z, did you?
I did. I
Okay.
did.
Pacific Rim, of course. RIPD.
Yep, I saw it.
Okay. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. Oh, I
Thank
missed that one.
you. So wait, you saw it?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I
Yeah,
wanted
because
to.
you were encouraging me to watch that, and
Because I wanted to watch it, but then, I rewatched the first one in order to watch that one, and then I don't know what happened.
All right, keep on going the list.
That's the
Yes.
same thing that happened to Riddick.
Oh yeah,
I watched Chronicles of Riddick because I started to watch Riddick and I was like, what are they talking about? This must be in the Chronicles of Riddick. So let me watch that and then watch Riddick. And then I just never watched Riddick.
I missed it too. You're right.
Okay.
You're right. There you go. More shirtlessness. But go on. Yes, go on.
Elysium.
Yep,
You
you know
saw
we saw
that.
that one.
Kick-Ass 2.
I did not see that. I
Yeah.
heard bad things about it, so yes.
Yeah. The World's End. I got recommendations for that one. I heard it was really good. I just didn't get around to it.
Same here, same here.
So did Gravity, we all saw. Carrie.
What is that? Is that like the remake of Carrie? Oh,
Yeah.
no.
Ender's Game, of course.
I saw it.
Thor, Dark World. I have
Shirtless.
Contracted on here, which I strongly suggest that Carl not watch.
I appreciate that. Good
Too.
looking
Oh, I'm
out.
so glad you didn't watch that one because that would have been really super awkward to talk with you about. Gala Walkers.
Now, I haven't seen it, but you know it's
Oh!
in the queue. Did you watch it? You
Yes!
did? What?
Wesley
You see?
Snipes.
I know. Okay, well look, I think I have it, but I just haven't watched it
I'm
yet.
going to tell you what it's like and then you'll be fine.
All right.
It's no spoilers, but you'll be fine. Hunger Games.
No, I did not watch that.
Me either. The Hobbit.
Yes, I did see The Hobbit.
The Desolation.
Desolation of Smaug. You have to say it all weird.
Oh,
Smaug.
that's the reason why I don't want to see it, because I don't want to say
You
Smaug.
have to say Smaug.
I don't want to. I don't like it. I don't
Yes, yeah.
like it. It makes me. I feel like I'm gonna get beat up or something. I don't want to see it.
Yeah, it was hard to say that. But actually, I liked it much more than
I
the
know people said that I would really like it because it was a little bit of action, but I'm just not in the mood for Middle Earth right now. I'm just not there. 47 Ronin.
No, I didn't see Keanu. Whoa. I'm holding out for
Two
Bill
and
and
three to
Ted.
see that, but I just couldn't.
No, something about it just didn't look right when I saw the previews.
I mean, it looks right. It's just I couldn't muster the motivation to do it or something. I don't know. So, out of these films that we've gone through, Carl, what has to be the worst? Now, let me tell you from what you haven't seen. My pick for the worst, the best worst I would have to say is Iron Man 3. That's the best worst, because but that wouldn't be a turd. The Gala Walkers, Sharknado, of course, After Earth, The Host. Yeah, those are my lowest.
Okay. All right. I got a confession to make. So let me just get this off my chest right to start with, and then we'll figure out something. I'm a little depressed, Skip. I'm a little depressed.
Why?
I'm depressed because the movies were not crappy enough this year.
Yeah.
Okay, now then let me explain what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Because there's a it's and this is a real problem, okay? Because what has happened? I think Hollywood has found this magical equation where it's the magical equation for meh. It's a magical where they have found the right collection of pseudo stars, mediocre action, bland storytelling, where the movie doesn't offend. It's not groundbreakingly bad, but there's just nothing good happening with it. It's just kind of okay. Like okay, so and we can talk about this later, but my favorite science fiction film of 2013, may it come as a shock, was Oblivion. Oblivion was my favorite sci-fi film of
Interesting.
2013. Okay, and we can get into that later.
So
But
not Pacific Rim.
nope. And let me see, I qualified it with the science fiction, but
Okay,
we'll
yeah,
talk about
that
them.
is okay,
But but
this is
here's
the
the
one with
thing though.
Tom Cruise, right?
That's right. Yeah, but think about it now. Okay.
Wow.
Starring Tom Cruise?
Wow.
Eh, could they have put somebody
This is
else
a
in
year
there?
with Star Trek Into Darkness.
But okay, but hang on. Here's the point I'm making is we can disassemble each one of these sort of not great movies, and there's and it's like the variables of the equation. So okay, you look at Oblivion, and that the fact that it's starring Tom Cruise, I think if they had somebody else, it might have kicked it up a notch. But you don't want to offend, so let's put Tom Cruise in there, all right? Nah, you put that in there. All right, here's another example.
Wasn't that bad?
He did a good, solid job, but which is why it's one of my favorites of the year. But still, I'm just saying, it just okay. Here's my next example, Elysium, and we talked about this already.
Yeah.
If you look at the construction of that, there was weak parts about the film. But look at the casting again. Was that the best person that they didn't take a risk? But was that the best person they could have cast to
Not really,
start?
no.
Meh, meh. And so it's like they've systematically gone through and anything that would have made the movie tremendously horrible or tremendously excellent, they just kind of smoothed over and created this blend. Because it's just sort of like they went, all right, once again with your multi-sided die, we need action hero, damsel in distress, and it's just sort of like a Mad Lib. They're filling in the blanks with whatever. Oh, don't forget, we need a sidekick. Oh, that's right. How could we have forgotten the
Explosions.
sidekick? Oh, but wait, here's the real dilemma for the sidekick. Do we make it a nerd, a funny black guy, or a robot? I don't know. Like, we gotta work on that. You know what? Let's just have we'll fix that in post. We'll fix that in post. Right now we'll have the star just talk to a ball on a stick right now, and we'll tell him, Mr. Reynolds, after the RIPD is done, we'll either make your sidekick a nerd, a funny black guy, or a robot. Go with that. You know. That's Ryan Reynolds' motivation in RIP. Okay, all right. But I digress. So that was my problem when I was trying to dig deep and really trying to find a sufficient turdage movie of this year. I kept finding okay films. Everything was just it wasn't. They didn't outwardly offend like they have in years past.
Yeah.
So that's what made this really, really tough. So. I've got three, and then maybe we can whittle it down from these three, and we'll see what we can do. So, RIPD is definitely on the list. RIPD. The host that you so graciously suggested that I watch. Yes, my dear, the host goes on the list. This year, what are you thinking?
It was sci-fi, though.
Yes, it was, and that was a strong criteria because you know some of these fringe ones I could have thrown in, but yes, it was sci-fi all the way. And our good old friend on the list for the second time, M. Night. Let's round it out with After Earth. M. Night's After Earth. So, because we normally do, you know, two and turn it off back and forth, I got a problem. Because like okay. I said...
Well, let me throw in the fourth one. So, Galen Walkers could have been on this.
Okay, but fantasy.
Well, it was kind of like a vampire, supernatural, but it was kind of like Priest. So I know I just made you not want to watch it. You know how you are, Carl. One day you're going to be flipping through on your paper. What is that? What do they call it on cable?
On demand.
There you go. And then you're going to be like, cat said this, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to watch it just to see. And you're going to do it and you're going to watch because Wesley Snipes.
The supporting Wesley Snipes, you know, whatever the bandwagon is. I'll watch a Wesley Snipes film.
I watched it, but man, it was rough. Everything when he was on screen was awesome, but as soon as he left, I like passed out.
Okay, all right. So what are we gonna do?
That's not gonna be on there because you didn't see it. But we will go back between After Earth, RIPD, which we might have a fight about, and The Host.
All right.
So let me make sure nothing else belongs on there. Sharknado should go on there, but that's kind of a throwaway.
That's literally a sci-fi channel movie, and so turdage is assumed.
That would be on there if we. Oh, here we go.
Silence. You didn't hear a thing.
He popping the nah. He popping the beer. What is that? A Schlitz?
Oh, you know I like my malt liquor. Got to have it for every show. Yeah, it's supposed to help me, girl. That's my 40.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so my problem with your pick for RIPD is that it was kind of cute.
It was not kind of cute. It was
pretty much Men in Black, but like...
That is the problem exactly. And that's why I was getting back to this, you know, the meh factor. Everything that you liked about Men in Black... Well, let me qualify it. Everything that I liked about Men in Black was the technology, the casting, the special effects, all of that stuff. Now take that out, and that's what RIPD is. It's the same kind of comedy. It's the same kind of, you know, it is the same kind of comedy. It had the same kind of feel. It had the same kind of nuttiness about it. Because Men in Black has this sort of off-the-wall weirdness that you just have to embrace and run through it. But didn't hold together nearly as well as minimal. There's a certain consistency to that insanity in MIB that is not at all in RIPD. You're sitting there going, what does that have to do with? Well, that doesn't make sense, because if it did that, then it's ridiculous.
But it was supposed to be, and it wasn't supposed to make sense. And yes, I thought it was way better than Green, what was Ryan Reynolds in? Which Green Lantern. It was way more enjoyable than just, well, no, but I just thought that the dude was funny. What?
Who keeps putting Ryan Reynolds in stuff? I'm serious now. Ryan Reynolds.
Let's look up and
Ryan Reynolds is becoming like the Steve Guttenberg of the aught tens. All right, remember Steve Guttenberg was in like every movie for 8 solid years. It's like, why is it? Because, and look, people got to eat. I don't have a problem with Ryan Reynolds at all. Really, I don't have. But for him to be in every damn thing, really. Okay, remember my meh equation, mm-hmm. my Hollywood meh equation. Okay, mm-hmm. look. Here's how you detect a good actor, all right? And this is what's supposed to be, okay, really, this is what's supposed to be happening, right? You see a role coming up, and there are characteristics of the role that imply an actor. Like, when Wolverine was coming out, and somebody said, Hugh Jackman, we're going to put Hugh Jackman in as Wolverine. At first, you're like, why would I? But then, as you started thinking about it, something about the actor, Hugh Jackman, it started to mesh, right? In your mind, even before you saw the movie, you're like, yeah, okay, I can see that. That Jack Nicholson as the Joker. Before you even saw it, it was like, yeah, you know, and it's something about the role implies the actor, right? You can you get that sort of that resonance that happens. Name me one role that Ryan Reynolds summons. I'm serious. Stop and think about it now. I want you to say, Ryan Reynolds, here's a role that he'd be perfect for. You hear them crickets? You hear that silence? That's what I'm talking about. Nuh-uh. There's something wrong.
Hold up. I'm on his IMDb page. Come on.
Nine pages long. It's like Ryan Reynolds stars in The Life of Jacques Cousteau. Yes. not... be in, and it's just this random.
Wasn't he good in Blade Trinity?
No, no end that he was in that, because that was like the first time they tried to cast him as this, you know, heartthrob action star. Bothered me to no end that he was in that movie. Anybody else, I think, could have done. Not like it's not that he's bad.
Like him,
it's not that he's bad. It just feels like he's constantly miscast. Is that he's like suffering from?
What do you think he's supposed to be doing? Like, what is he supposed to be doing?
That's my damn question, right there. The point is, when it comes to casting, when it comes to something about the role, is supposed to resonate with the actor that you put in it, right? So that was my problem. That's my question. What is it that Ryan Reynolds?
Well, at Comic Con, when Ryan Reynolds read off the Green Lantern. Poetry, whatever. What was it? What does Green Line? He has like a saying of, limerick or something. He says,
"Pledge."
Pledge. Thank you, limerick. Oh my God, at Robo Minister on Twitter. Anyway, when he said that at Comic Con and he recited it like right off the top of his head, people were super excited, and so was I, and I didn't even know it. And I was just like, oh, look at him, kid asking him question, quizzing him, and he like rattled it off, and everybody was pumped for Green Lantern. I don't know jack about Green Lantern, and I was pumped, and I saw that thing.
All I'm gonna say is
seemed like he could have been right for it.
I am not going to say he's not dedicated as an actor, and that he does not take his role seriously. I don't think he's a bad actor. I want to be very clear about that, okay? I don't hate him. Especially his comedy stuff, his early stuff, I liked a lot. It's just like I see suffering from like early Carl Urban disease, where they keep shoehorning him in. They keep putting him in stuff. And you're like, really? That's the best use of him? It's just not, it's my point.
So Ryan Reynolds needs his Almost Human.
Yeah, he needs something, because it's not the stuff. It's just not quite right for
him. So what do you think? Is he not funny because he does. Is he not serious? Is he not an action hero? Like, is it all his fault? You don't think the dude had anything to do with this?
Okay, like I said, I'm trying to qualify this now. I don't want this to become a rant about Ryan Reynolds.
It has already done that, son.
I don't have a problem with him personally, and I don't think he's a bad actor. I do think they keep putting him in roles that is not resonating with him.
Okay, fine, I get that. But Kevin Bacon was funny. Jeff Bridges was funny.
I'm not saying that funny actors can't do other things.
Mary Louise Parker was good in the film. What? They were all good in the film.
Well, that's kind of going a little far.
Well, they were funny. I think this one was more enjoyable than the other ones. Like, if I had to do a rewatch, I would definitely want to rewatch R.I.P.D. out of After Earth and The Host.
But look, that's not saying a lot. And okay, but, I mean, look, you're just going, well, it's number three of the turnage, so it's not so bad. No,
because well, we do have to say, you know,
we get into that. We get okay. So let's just take the Ryan Reynolds issue. But that's my point. Why, like I said, he just feels like a fill in the blank on that. I feel like
you're targeting him.
Singling
him out, and you just immediately, when you saw his face on the poster, you automatically knew that this was going to be a turd. You kept saying, when it first came on the scene, Ryan Reynolds, RIPD, turd.
Yeah, but it was not just because Ryan Reynolds was in it. They have a history of, I'm not going to say miscasting, but bland casting him. They have a history of bland casting him. And then when you looked at the previews and it looked just like Men in Black without all the cool stuff, I said, oh, that combo is what made me so upset early on, even before.
But you didn't even give it a chance.
No, I gave it a chance. I watched it and I grit my teeth and I sat there and it was just as I suspected, MIB without all the cool stuff.
He tweeted me his displeasure. I mean, he texted me his displeasure the whole freaking time. Mm-hmm. He was just grumpy.
You made me do it. So, you know, we can go back and forth. We can talk about a little bit more. But see, that's my problem with RIPD is that there was a sort of generic blandness about it.
We get it, sir.
All right. So now let's get on with the other two.
Okay. Now, so we just want to talk about them a bit, or do we want to go through the criteria?
Well, are we trying to figure out, are we trying to pick two that we're going to pit against each? Because right now we got three and that's an awkward balance. So are we going to try to hone it down to two, or what are we doing here?
Oh.
Because we got three, right?
Well, the ones that would be the two for me.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I was defending RIPD.
All right.
Okay, so let's go through. What do you want to do next? How do you think we're doing this?
Well, I was asking you because my three are Host, RIPD, and After Earth.
Okay, so we just talked RIPD to death. Let's go to The Host.
No. Let's talk After Earth. Here is my problem. What I'm saying that the worst. Okay, After Earth was surprisingly not horrible.
See.
It was surprisingly not hard. It was great. It really was not great. All right, so
it was great.
It was not great at all.
I hate it.
It was not great. But that's the problem with this year. They found the magical balance of vanilla, ordinary, plain, mediocre. They won't revolt at paying to see these. But it's still not great.
I think the interesting thing about After Earth is that we had an organic ship. I had more to say on this when I first saw it, but we waited so long. But I was really turned on is not really what I want to say. Impressed is not really what I liked. I guess I could say I responded positively to the aesthetic. Of the ship's design and their civilization, but there's a few things that I did not understand about their civilization and their refusal to use guns on these creatures.
Oh, what you think? Go onto an island with your weapon is a stick? Not even,
because I can understand that, like, let's say the ship goes down and the guns were damaged. But when the daughter was killed and they were in their home, why is the only thing she had to combat him, the monster with, is a stick? Why didn't they have special guns? And if they have an emergency bubble to put people in, when the beasts come inside or attack, why didn't they have them for everyone?
Really,
And
really, really.
what were these things, and why were they loose, and like, why didn't they hunt them down?
You're
And
really starting to ask these kind of questions about the movie, because
it's a
that's.
really rich environment, and I think people need to get a chance. Let me say, I can't believe you just laughed
I've been holding in the whole time. Give me some credit here, all right? Just, go on, go, go on.
it was a really rich environment. I think people didn't give it a chance because, A, the baggage of Will Smith and his obvious nepotism, and M. Night. And this is the first film that did not have an M. Night ending. You know, that ending that makes you want to stab him? It didn't have it. And it was just a straightforward story. It wasn't stupid twists or anything like that. It was kind of cool. And I think if it didn't have those two pieces of baggage, it would have been right there with Oblivion and
No,
Elysium.
no,
Why not?
no, because I believe Oblivion stands out because it was a true science fiction story in like the old paperback literature versions in the old Outer
Well,
Limits.
that's the way I feel about The Host, and you disagree.
Oh,
They did.
please, that is
They even had
that's.
the Outer Limits voiceover at the end in The Host, right?
Oh, we're not even going to. Okay, let's.
Excellent.
Can I just focus on After Earth?
And Outer Limits. Okay, fine.
Let me just focus on After Earth right now. So I mean, there was an intelligence and a twist and an innovativeness about Oblivion that is not fair to try to lump in Elysium and After Earth with. All right, I'm not even going to go there. The
Thank you.
my biggest complaint about After Earth was it was so everything in it we had seen before. Everything in it we had seen before, and not taking the best of things that we had seen before. It was, I mean, Jesus, did we really need to see Congo again? Congo is in this, for crying out loud. I hated that when I saw it in the theater. All right, nobody wants to see that
That's a bird
crap again.
relationship. A
That
bird
was
with a bird.
crap. No, nah, no. So
Didn't
it
see
was
Congo.
so. It was what, huh?
I didn't see Congo.
Don't, you ain't missing nothing. You ain't missing a darn thing with that. But the point is After Earth had just this sort of lowest common denominator about everything in it. Now, I will agree with you. There was a pretty aesthetic about it. I'm not a big
Boom.
I will give you that, because it was, but that is not enough to hang an entire film on.
But the story
No.
was about a personal walkabout.
Okay, look, if you're gonna do that, because my big beef about science fiction, where if you can tell the exact same story without the special effects and without all of the magic that is what goes into a sci-fi movie, then maybe you should just make it a walkabout movie. You put Joaquin Phillips in it or something, and just throw a banjo on his back. I'm serious. That, because what happens is you were supposed to be leveraging the magic of science fiction to tell a story that you can't tell anyplace else. That's what makes them cool. So if I'm literally just
But I'm
walking.
just saying, what if you forget about your own personal criteria and just accept the movie for what it is and what was presented and the
All right.
way it was presented? Just because you don't like it and you have hang-ups about it doesn't mean that it wasn't
Okay, then the next thing
decent.
is all what I keep asking for is, when you say my own personal criteria, all I'm asking for is a little innovation. Show me something interesting. There was nothing. The fight scene was derivative and bland. The father-son dynamic, because I mean, there's just so much wrong. Here's the thing. If you're gonna put Will Smith in a movie, the thing that everybody loves most about Will Smith, he's an emotive guy. He's very excited and passionate, and you can feel every man through Will Smith, right? When you watch a Will Smith movie, he says something invariably at some point through the movie, and you're like, that's me. I would have said the same thing if I was punching out an alien in the desert. You would say, that's Will Smith, and that's what makes him so fun to watch, right? So what's the first thing they do? We're going to sap every bit of emotion out of Will Smith.
It was different. I thought it was an interesting take on Will Smith to show he's not just one-dimensional.
We know he's not Will one-dimensional. We've seen him in things like The Pursuit of Happiness.
I didn't watch that.
The point is...
That didn't have any aliens in it or spaceships. I didn't watch that.
Movie should not be an exercise for the actor. It's supposed to have something that carries the story.
It was about a son. It was about a grizzled captain who shows no emotion and wasn't there for his son and his family. They're bonding after years of a separation, and they're coming together to mend their rift.
All of the things that you're saying sounds like it ought to have been good. They sound like it should have been a good, solid story. But the one thing that ties all this together and what makes it a good story is the emotion that connects these things. With the son is put out and you see that he's really distressed that he's not connecting with his father. If you see a moment of light where the father and son come together and there's that emotional rush where it's like, yeah, all right.
You didn't get that?
No, that is not in this film.
It was in that film at the end when his dad was alive. Come on. Well, I'm like, is your heart that covered in coal that you could not shed one tear for this particular story? Like, even get misty-eyed a little?
Let me just qualify. The fact that the father was alive is not the same thing as an emotional crescendo, okay? This not the same thing.
I didn't know if he was going to be alive or not because he looked pretty bad there.
Didn't matter because there was no emotional connection. Who cares?
What do you mean it wasn't emotional? The whole thing was about an emotional connection.
Where?
The whole film.
No.
The sister who died and was attacked by the stupid monster thing.
The fact that a slot where emotion should have occurred was there is not the same thing as successfully. That's my point. Just like, okay, you can just, the fact you are telling people what is happening in the story. It's the same thing as effectively making you feel it when you watch. All right?
So a girl gets killed. A pretty girl gets killed.
That was an aesthetic I was appreciating. But all right.
She is way too young for you, and you're being disgusting right now. Anyway.
That's too pretty. Oh, that's a good-looking woman.
Stop it.
I cried at that point. I admit, when she got killed, I was like, oh! No, the only thing I enjoy.
No, I can't take you seriously right now.
Listen, I'm trying to find a light in this film. Go on. You were going. All right. You want me to go? All right. So the aesthetic I'll give you, that's great. But this is not an art film. All right. I want to see. There's got to be something that connects the pretty pictures all throughout this entire film. And I'm telling you, there was nothing new.
It was light-handedly done. It was just a very soft touch. It was supposed to be wispy and not supposed
wispy.
To...
The plot was wispy. The emotional character development, wispy. Motivations, wispy. By the way, all right. You want to talk about... Where the heck did his baton go? If you ever watch it again, his baton just disappears at one point in the film.
One complaint too, the baton, and why did they have to use that accent that they were not good at doing?
Well, that is them. What did you say? Showing the range, acting range?
But it wasn't even necessary for the story.
Sure it was, because that meant they were from the future. Clear. That's all. That was clear.
But were they like Southern Australians from Texas? But
listen, it's
really
a combination of all the European cultures. Going on. That's deep, girl. That was the depth of After Earth right there. That was just...
I don't know. I saw some review who said... The only thing they really agreed with the film was how Will Smith was going to sleep in the middle of the whole thing, because they were too.
I felt it. I did too. I thought I was losing blood halfway through. I wasn't sure what was
I
going
think
on.
people gave this thing a hard time because of Will Smith and M. Night, and I think it is it's sad.
It is not, look, it is not unfair criticism.
I
This is
think
not an
the
unfair criticism because,
people
like I
being
said,
racist.
no, when you, Will Smith, when you go see a Will Smith movie, oh, but okay, well, one thing at a time. When you go see a Will Smith movie, like I said, there is a certain energy and a certain enthusiasm in
Yeah,
the
only
air.
ID4.
What do you mean? Only every other movie he's in, he's yelling. He says something like Earth at some point in every other film he's in. He uses the term Earth. The movie's after Earth. Welcome to Earth. What they're invading Earth. He's got to say that at some point in all this movie. But that enthusiasm is the fun of seeing a Will Smith movie. So, all right. So the first tier I talked about is the fact that there was no enthusiasm coming out of Will Smith in this film. So your first strike is you're going to see this movie. You're looking forward to seeing Will
So
Smith.
you didn't like Hancock. You didn't
Nah.
like I Am Legend.
I did like I Am Legend. I liked I Am Legend.
Okay.
What is wrong with you? I'm not saying Will Smith's a bad. Why was that connected?
Well, because I Am Legend, he wasn't funny.
Now, there's a difference between funny and emotive. He has no emotions in this movie.
He
No,
was.
no.
He was the stern captain. He played it well. It was restrained,
No, that is
perfectly.
not
He's just a
restraint. That is okay. So my first. So what you said is, all right, people. The
Why am I in
people.
a position of defending this?
Because you're defending it. I
I'm
don't
just trying
understand
to
why.
make you, I just want you to not, I want you to qualify your negativity because I think that you people have prejudged this film and didn't watch it and had an attitude while they were
I am
watching it
telling
and
you
didn't give it
after,
a fair chance. That's my only
and
reason for
I
defending.
am telling you that I did watch it, and I'm explaining what the negativity is. I'm
But
trying
you
to tell.
just have like, you were negative going in.
Yeah, no, because I knew M. Night was in it, but I still
He
like.
wasn't in it.
I mean, was involved in it, is what I mean. But my point, okay, so when I said this movie was not horrible, that is a ringing endorsement of what I was expecting. I swear to you.
My
Like I said, the
God.
movie was not terrible. So that was my first surprise about After Earth. So my biggest complaint, because M. Night movies in the past have engaged a certain rage
Why I was impressed.
So the fact that it doesn't enrage you is doesn't make it a good movie, though. That's not, so I'm explaining, I'm defending my criticisms, and I'm telling you why, even though I did have preconceived notions, I still went in and I gave it a shot. And what I saw, I'm explaining to you from what I saw why what eventually disappointed me about the movie. These are the actual things, not my preconceived notions,
Okay.
not my bias. I'm telling you what actually disappointed
Okay.
me.
All right.
So
I'm just making sure.
the first thing is a compound thing, and you made a legitimate point where you said people, were going in there and were not liking it because of Will Smith, because Will Smith and M. Night. All right, I had those very same expectations, and when I went in there, here's my response to that. The first issue is everything that I liked about Will Smith was completely devoid in this movie. The second thing is, if I wanted to see Will Smith in this movie, he was not in it. Will Smith is laid down. For the most part, just laying down in a chair.
Yeah,
The
but
whole movie.
he was like
Don't act.
encouraging his son to
Listen,
do stuff, and then he had like the Obi-Wan voice there at the end, like, you can do it, Luke, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And it was
My point is if people are going into this movie and they're thinking, wow, I know M. Night's in it, but at least it's a Will Smith movie. And then they see Will Smith laid up for the entire film, and they're realizing, wait a minute, I gotta go through M. Night and Will Smith isn't really in this movie. Now I'm watching his son through this movie. Oh no. So you see how these strikes are just starting to be okay, we got M. Night in the background. We got Will Smith who's barely in the movie. I'm just gonna say, because he's in the scenes, but emotionally, physically, he's not really in this movie. So okay, so now those two things I gotta retire. All right, so now I'm watching Jaden in this film, and we've had this discussion before where I just don't think that Jaden has got enough under his belt.
He was good in Karate Kid.
Okay, I'm not even gonna, I didn't see it, so I don't
It
know.
was so cute.
Okay, look, that may not be what people are looking for in After Earth, wanting to see cute. But
he wasn't cute in this film, but I thought he displayed the emotions of a kid who really wanted to connect with his father but couldn't and was upset about it. I mean, like, how is his journey alone different from Gravity?
Oh, my God. Really? You look like a profound... Really? You need to learn the difference between mentioning plot points and experiencing the plot points. Okay, so you have done a fascinating job.
I mean, I tried to say it with a straight enough voice. Yes. So
a fascinating job of mentioning the plot points that should have been in After Earth. You say, well, remember there was that fight scene. Remember there was that connection between the fathers. You are describing what should have been there. What hypothetically, in sort of like, they tell us verbally what should be. Oh, well, the father and son haven't been connected for a long time. Wow. You know, couldn't we have sensed that emotionally somewhere in the story? No, no. That is very different from having the story unveil that to us. And it's just not there in After Earth. It's not there. You can't fit. There is no emotional connection to any of these characters. So, okay. So you got no Will Smith. You got Fear of M. Night in it. You got that dread wearing carrying you over. So, and so the craziness is, as the movie is coming to an end.
Oh, man, I was scared.
But, you know, maybe I need some M. Night on this. Maybe a twist will save this film, because you're trying to figure out what... No. And then we don't get the M. Night twist. Are you kidding? Really? This now we could have used a little, you know, turns out they were on a movie set the whole time. You know?
Oh, that would have been painful.
You know, I'm not sure. That would have been worse. Yeah. So you see how all the preconceived notions didn't help.
But at least that would have, like, ignited fury.
Exactly.
On X.
I mean, the whole problem is that it was just so bland, and it's everything we had seen before. And so, again, you know, why did this even need to be a set in space? Why did this even need to be, you know, extraterrestrial or have any? The aliens were the blandest, most reproduced copy of a copy. What was Vin Diesel's first sci-fi movie?
Oh, one? Pitch Black.
Yeah, it was like Pitch Black mixed with sort of like Aliens mixed with something else. It just, you know, no.
It was highly derivative.
Everything. Yeah. Everything was highly derivative.
Well, I mean, it was better. It didn't.
Well, okay. Look, I'll give you the effect, but here's one other thing that I do have a problem with. Don't go backwards with your action. In other words, think about the aesthetic that you're talking about. Think about the action and the space and the science fiction. All of that crap was piled into like the first 20 minutes.
Yep. And then they pull the rug
and
right up.
The whole rest of the film, Planet Canada. Which yep. is around. You know how I feel about that. So... if I gotta watch a wicker and bamboo ship crash, you know, and I'm sitting here, and now we gotta watch a transforming baton, but a baton nonetheless, as the ultimate weapon, as we're walking through the woods for the whole rest of the film. Oh, no, you can't start me with the aesthetic, because technically, the aesthetic that we saw was very, very similar to John Carter, Mars.
Yeah.
It had the same canvas, bamboo. It had the exact same thing. So, again, when I say it's derivative, everything we'd seen, everything, the stuff I liked.
I was thinking Moya.
But not as well done.
Yeah.
Not as cool.
No,
as
Moya. No.
Not as cool as Moya. No, Moya had personality.
Yeah, literally.
Literally, yeah. So like I said, everything we'd seen, it's bland, all of that sort of crappage, and then we retire to it's crappage, and then we retire to a wandering through a walkabout through the woods, and You are just, I mean, I'm just hating it because everything that I wanted to see in a sci-fi, and that's what really got me mad because it started with such a, like, it was pretty. The effects were pretty. The aesthetic was pretty, you know, but, you know,
They
I
had a good universe at the beginning that I kind of wanted to explore a little
yep.
bit and then
Right.
not go to Planet Canada.
And then, so, of course, we've got all of that, and they just take off and leave that. They leave that, and now we're wandering in the woods.
Well,
Oh,
I
I.
mean, we would have been able to see that if they didn't crash.
Yeah, but that's
So.
not the film that we got. That's not the film. That's the whole problem. So,
Yeah.
now, to be fair, I did some digging around because I just had to understand what they were thinking. What was the idea?
Okay.
And guess what? Will Smith said, you know what? He was watching some kind of a survivalist program. And he's like, you know what? I want to make a survivalist program. And later on, it dawned on him, maybe we can set it in space. Now, you see how, from the inception, this is a bad idea. Because, no, there is so. Either use the epicness of science fiction to tell a new story, or just go classic with your survivalist story, which of course there have been 8 billion of already. The only difference is, are you fighting a bear or a hillbilly? One of the two. I told you, and here comes the banjo again. You see the banjo comes back. Yeah, I love. Pick one, all right? Don't and pick the most derivative of each class and then merge them together and think that people are going to be excited about that as a movie.
Yeah, I mean, because
But
people were already upset at the
oh no,
Vanity Project
oh, yeah, and so you put all that
essence of it,
in, and then
yeah.
you make Jaden the star of this, and I'm telling you, I just I don't think he could pull it off. I mean, there was I don't know about him individually as an actor because Will Smith was not
Watch
interesting.
Karate Kid.
Okay, great, but Will Smith was not interesting in After Earth. So then to try to make Jaden try to carry, and it's Jaden's film. This is Jaden's movie. So all of this background stuff is not setting a good stage for him to try to leap off and do something exciting. No. By the time there's the quote crescendo of the battle between he and the alien, which by the way lasted all of like 40 seconds, and was just the weakest kind of crescendo ever. You're not going to be excited. So, you don't have emotional connection. You don't have a uniqueness in the battle. You don't see anything novel with what's going on. And then you're
Well, they
going
had to not feel fear in order for the thing to not see them. And once you were fearless, then it couldn't see you, then you could stab it to death.
Ow. And so there's supposed to be there's that moment where he's like Neo and it's the one and he takes the breath and now the alien walks right over him because it get no that for in a movie and you know having no emotion is a crescendo. No, you are messing this up. No.
Okay, if it was a movie and my kid was in it, I think it was great, but I wouldn't put it out for the whole world to
Yeah,
see.
you're the only one watching it.
Yeah,
There you go.
it was like,
Around, do you know what the budget was for After Earth?
Tell me.
No, I was at shoot. I was hoping you.
Oh no, I don't know. Let's see. What website do we use?
Mojo. It's
Ah,
a.
there it is. Yeah, box.
Okay. And you see, none of this is happening. What happened there?
What? I was
Sorry,
typing.
I must have mistyped something because I had some problems.
Not porn.
Oh, yeah. Okay, you need two Fs in Office or else something strange happens.
Oh, 130 million?
Thank you. Now,
Yeah.
so you want your Turkish per dollar? 130 million for that. For bamboo ships. 130 million for 3/4 of the movie running through the woods. No. I saw the same hologram effect in the first episode of Farscape. No. Let me tell you, they were talking about how expensive that was. That's an inside Farscape joke. That hologram on the first episode of Farscape about near broke them. So,
that's why they was in Planet Canada for the rest of the...
So they did not listen to Farscape. But no, I mean, that makes no sense. No sense for that kind of budget to deliver this. So, yeah, well, there you go. Turds per dollar.
Okay, well, just to round it out, RIPD also was $130 million.
That don't make no sense. Although, granted, there was more special effects in RIPD, even though we had seen them all before. But still, there you go.
Okay, well, you ready to try to talk about the host?
That is universal turd right there. I'm just give you right there. That's why I say that. I think we can universally agree.
It is a sci-fi thriller. Now, if you haven't seen this film, this is from the maker or the writer of Twilight. And so that'll set a little bit of a stage for you there.
It should.
Now, this movie I watched because it was sci-fi, and I just kind of wanted to see where it was going to go. I mean, the beginning of it had, what was her name?
Are we talking about the people from The Host?
Yeah, The Host. It had this actress. What's her name? Diane Kruger. And they also had some really neat spaceships, and there were aliens, and it reminded me of this Outer Limits episode that I've seen. It was literally the same as an Outer Limits episode. I don't know which one.
And by the way, you're talking about the new one, not the old one, which is what I tend to refer to when
I'm talking Limits. About when I say Outer Limits, I'm referring to both of them, but this is the new difference. Outer Limits that was sci-fi. MGM, was it, or something? I don't know.
Let's just call it the 90s one.
The 90s one, which I thought was really good, too. So
I did, too, but not quite the same as the original.
Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it was the reason why I kept watching, because it was exactly like one of those episodes where aliens come to Earth and inhabit humans, sort of like
Body Snatchers.
Or Trill.
Trancers.
Whatever. Yeah, that.
They live.
To see Trancers. I mean,
they live. It's almost as if elements of this film had been made before in many, many times before. But go on. I'm listening.
Doesn't it seem like the other reason I wanted you to see it, like it used the same set as Oblivion?
What?
Well, maybe. The underground caves and stuff.
Not quite.
Yes, because you know the underground caves where Morgan Freeman was in.
But see, Morgan Freeman was in the basements of blown up buildings. They weren't just like rat holes and you know, stalagmites and stuff.
It was a desert.
No, it wasn't the same. Because, okay, so what I will give you was an interesting aesthetic is the last humans in The Host movie had held up in this sort of desert tunnel system that they had rebuilt into, you know, into like farms and a little town and everything.
So cool.
They had used, and admittedly, that was cool. But that's not that wasn't an Oblivion. Oblivion, they were living in like the
That were. I don't know why I thought like, but it wasn't it in a desert too? Like it was buildings in a desert type of area or something. They were both underground or something.
The fact that they yes,
whatever I'll give
you, they both
whatever.
Occurred underground. Shut yes, up. They were underground.
Well, they both had like the mysterious leader of the other people that somebody had to go and find and blah blah. No, didn't. Okay.
Okay, look, here's the only thing that I thought was similar to Oblivion in terms of the look and feel. The modern edge of the alien inhabited humanity had an advanced technology. And so some of their stuff was pretty. Their cars, some mm-hmm. of the buildings.
Their clothes.
Their clothes. It had that kind of clean Prometheus Oblivion aesthetic about it. But everything that I liked about Oblivion in terms of the aesthetic wasn't in the host. I mean, you know, I like the bubble shirts.
They had those cars, though. They had those silver cars.
That was not bad, but no cars in Oblivion.
That's fine, but I'm talking about the host. The host had those silver cars, and I was like, Carl needs to see these cars.
I thought the cars were pretty. I thought they were cool. What were those, Lotus?
I think so, something like that.
I'm quite sure what they were. But
I don't know, but they were chrome silver, and you know, I have like a silver fetish, and anything that's silver and futuristic,
It was pretty, which is why I liked MIB, but not RIPD. Dude. But gone. Yeah. It's gone. Dude. We're moving on. The host.
Insult to injury, man. Just calm down. Anyway.
Everything I like.
So those things, and that it was, you know, pretty much an Outer Limits episode. It had some really great looking sci-fi elements. The landscapes were pretty good. Locations. And the subject matter and what they did with it was okay, but there was a glaring thing that was really horrible about this film, and it was the voiceover, where as you can... Shut up. You...
Exposition! Exposition!
So what happens is...
You don't have to say what happens, because the voice tells you it.
So when the alien inhabits your body, or the lead actress's body, we hear the words of the alien out of her mouth, but we hear the girl from the previous, the human, kind of in there too. So there's like the alien going, I have to report to my leader. And then the girl is like, you can't do that. I'm still in here. Do you hear me? And it was just so horrible. It was so hard to watch.
It was grating. It was great. And of course, because they need to discriminate between the alien and the human that's in, you know, the human, well, the inhabiting alien and the human that's trapped inside of her. The trapped inside of her human had this sort of like, what is that, a Savannah accent going on?
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
No, let's not forget that. So the alien.
Because she was from Louisiana, and it was the worst Louisiana accent ever.
The alien has got this, you know, this prim, slightly formal, almost British thing happening, which was not well done.
No.
And they counter that with the, I am trapped inside of you, and I don't know what to do next. It's like listening to Paula Deen fighting inside, trying to get out.
Oh my God. And then here it is again. Let's see. So the host, what was the writer's name of Twilight? Is that Stephanie Meyer?
That sounds good. Let's go with that.
Okay, let's see. But yeah, so she has this thing where her lead girl
has to be very generic, uninteresting, and emotionless.
That as well as in love with two guys, and two guys fight
over
the same
damn time. That's right, two guys.
This same theme again, where she's in love with two guys, but the outer alien part of her is in love with one guy, and then the inner her is in love with another guy. And
there's this moment in the film where, and there's a moment in the film where the girl, the human, is fighting with her inhabited side because her boyfriend is starting to fall for the not actually even the alien. Her boyfriend is falling for her body, but she is mad because the alien is showing off and is getting her old boyfriend attracted to her. All right, so I'm having enough trouble dealing with that, because what's happening is, you know, and there's even a kiss where, you know, the boyfriend is like, I don't care who's inside of you, la la la, and he's got a grandpa on her, and I'm like, oh my God, because look, granted, An old ass black dude is probably not the demographic you will go for. So I'll just put that out there. I'm not the demographic they were shooting for those. So I know. All right, a love triangle, emotional angst on a teenage girl. I'm trying to go with it. All right, I'm trying to roll. So I'm just getting over the fact that her boyfriend kissed her. The alien doesn't like him, and she's mad. She's jealous of the alien. I'm trying to deal with that, okay? So she's off. She's sitting on by herself, looking over the desert, going, "Oh, myself, how am I going to deal with the fact that my boyfriend has just kissed me, even though I'm not me, and this is so angstful?" And then you hear the alien go, "Yeah, but his friend's kind of hot." You're like, no. I was like, no. And the thing is, at the moment when that happened, I looked at the clock and I realized that I was.
And he texted me.
I was only at the halfway point. I'm like, oh, not a love triangle, too. No. So let me chime in. All right. The premise is actually kind of interesting. If you sap out the whole fact that it's Twilight and honestly, the premise of this from the beginning, you're kind of going, okay, because you know humanity is being inhabited by these aliens. Humanity is trying to is got peace, advance the technology. People are trying to there's the occasional case where the human spirit still exists right alongside of the alien. This, in theory, could be an interesting premise. And I mean, really,
they did it better on Outer Limits.
And so I'm going, you know what? Okay. You know, I'm kind of rolling with that. And then the voiceover starts. And then the love triangle starts. And then the Tina. And let me tell you, here was the worst part. It didn't occur to me because everybody in the background was so bland and generic. I didn't realize that the two characters that were the two different love interests were different guys. Because, I mean, they looked at, if you look at the poster, here's your discriminating factor, okay? Because look, watch Twilight. You're watching Twilight, you got your big, beefy, like, wolf guy, and you got your waify, goth vampire. Very clean, distinctive difference, right? If you look at the two guys from the host, what you got is sandy-haired, pouting guy with tousled hair, and then sandy-haired, pouty guy with slight a curly but windblown hair. So it's windblown tussled. Those are your two guys. That's your generic split between the two guys. So I didn't realize they were two different guys until I saw them in a scene together. I was like, oh crap, they're two guys. Oh no, not the generic love triangle. And so then I'm like, who cares what the difference? The background characters were so uninteresting. I will give you the woman that you pointed out, who is the hunter. You know, she's the hunter. She is, you know, the person that, mm-hmm. that sort of the quote police of the aliens, and she's looking around for
the seeker.
People who are having trouble, you know, accepting their alien host. So I thought, you know, she as a character. And with her own motivations, I thought she was almost good, almost interesting. But see, here's the problem. They could have really ramped it up if we had got to see her turmoil. She, because they hint at it in that she's having trouble with her human. Mm-hmm. They hint at it. But we never, ever see that.
Towards the end, we do.
Yeah, well, but then at that point, it just, you know, basically, it's not a battle anymore, you know. But we don't see her, you know, her battling with her possessed person. But so her as the hunter, like, not like we, you know, the, I'm innocent. I don't care. Okay, we've seen the chase with the guy before. But that could have been interesting. But no. So again, they just so it starts with the premise. It starts with the technology. It starts with the science fiction, and then we're in the woods again. Although now we're in the desert. Now there's no technology out here except a spray can that we see occasionally, and a little pretty orb. again, what they've done is, you know, they spent all of that money up in the beginning. They get us excited about the technology and the potential of what the film is, and then what it ends with is spotlights in a glowy ball. That is how it ends.
But the only thing that I really like was that the alien figured out how to get herself out of the human's body, and she was going to send herself to Earth. I thought the orbs and how they got sent home, the aliens, was very interesting. I thought the aliens saw how other aliens were being slaughtered, because the humans were trying to figure out how to get them out, how she like was really upset at that, and so instead of you know, like killing all the humans who killed all of her people, she's like, well, let me show you a better way, because, you know, you don't want us inside of us, but you can just kind of coax the alien, which was kind of like a tumbleweed snowflake thing.
Yeah, the aliens were ghostly things. Yeah. I think we saw it in Next Generation. I thought one impregnated Deanna Troi.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, we've seen it. But now it's coming back to you, all right? You remember. But the problem is she was sort of like the most evolved of the possessing aliens. It seemed like the aliens had to decide to leave before that happened. And it didn't seem like there were a whole bunch of aliens that had no problem at all inhabiting humans and didn't have that sort of forced dialogue. So they had no motivation to leave.
So, yeah, the human was weak and they didn't really.
Well, look, you know, my rule is if it's your body, you ought to be able to keep it. So that was the rule first. Doesn't matter how weak you are. An alien possesses you. Guess what? The body gets dibs. Whoever was there first. So it's not a matter of, well, the human was weak and then didn't win. Get out the body. It is not your body.
They felt that, you know.
We were wasting our bodies.
We were wasting our bodies. We were having war. We wouldn't. You know, using our human abilities to the most.
And so, you know what? All of the stuff that we were talking about was like what should have been developed in the movie. That's not what the movie was about.
No.
The movie was about the angst between a completely uninteresting young girl and two sandy-haired, one tousled, one slightly, you know, slightly more tousled hair guy. And think about it. There is nothing about those guys. There is nothing you remember about him. Obviously, I dare you, Kat. What was the difference between those two guys? Tell me one thing that was different about one versus the other.
Well, one was in Percy Jackson.
Oh, my God. That is it?
He was in I Am Number 4, and he was also on Supernatural.
You really need to work
with him. The Minotaur or whatever?
Oh, you are not helping
and
me
then,
at
so,
all here. And
then, so, the other guy was from...
Can we stick within the realm of the movie? What was the thing that made one guy different than the other?
One
in
had
the movie?
Like a long cricket nose, and then the other one.
Oh jeez.
He was sandy brown hair that was slightly tousled.
I mean, really, even the poster. Look at the poster. You're like, because they're both pouting in the poster. One is just slightly more tousled. That is it.
Yeah.
There's really nothing memorable about any of the other
characters. One has like almost Bieber bangs, and then the other one doesn't.
You're killing me. So basically, one came in from the wind, is what you're telling me. The tussled hair. One was slightly more windy.
But one has on a leather jacket.
Oh, jeez. All right. Anyhow. So all of the elements that were kind of interesting. Get immediately tossed in the first 10, 15 minutes, and then it just degrades into this love triangle with bad, bad voice.
Oh, man, that was so terrible.
It's really, really bad.
It's terrible.
It's bordering.
I felt bad making Carl watch this because I knew that was terrible, but I wanted him to see the landscapes and the scenery and just the essence of the story, but I felt bad about the voiceover. I felt bad, Carl. I felt bad.
Let you get me back for Branded because that's the only other voiceover that compares. That's the only other voiceover
maybe not,
that compares.
Because they were talking to a cow.
Yeah, the,
It was
no,
a
well,
cartoon.
yes, but they were explaining the motivation of talking
Man,
to a
man,
cow. It was totally different than her going, "Stop walking into this room that we are going into right now. We are watching the film, girl. We know."
That was an actual line in
the No. Don't go into that room. You won't like what you see. Oh, no.
It was terrible.
It was terrible, you guys. No. Why would you do this?
Meyer.
Why does no one watch the film? I don't
giving
get it.
Her money to do stuff because I tried to watch Twilight, the second from the last one, whatever it's called. I felt dirty afterwards because it's like that was some of the worst acting. And like, if I start complaining about Twilight and I was like, man, that was some terrible. Who specifically was terrible in it? Because I thought it was. And I'm just like, I'm just going to walk away and stop talking because I'm about to get mauled for saying this movie sucked.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
But well, I don't see the same fan fervor for the host.
Oh, really? Why? I can't imagine why. I mean, even so, I'm saying now. I admit, I'm not the demographic for this film, but I tried to figure out, you know, what would be great about this movie, what you could kind of make happen. When you look at a movie like Twilight, the fact that you've got your gothy guy versus your beefy guy, that's a kind of a debate or a battle, internal battle that I can see a young lady having. You know, oh, do I want, you know, this kind of goofy
she
guy?
She made the wrong decision.
Okay, well, look, the point is, I can understand that as at least being a challenge, you know, of something that a tension that a young lady would have to deal with. When I watch The Host, And I see them forcibly creating a love triangle, and I'm looking at all of the elements of it, like the boyfriend who is kissing on the body of his girl that he hasn't seen, because you know there's a grossness of that you can't get emotionally invested into, because he is kissing on a girl. Basically, it's the body of his girlfriend, but none of the personality, and maybe his girlfriend is trapped in her and he's not sure. I don't think I'd be kissing on that girl. And
well,
then,
if you're seeing your loved one, like someone you've lost, and you've seen them walk up to you, you're going to respond to that physically, because if there's somebody that you thought was dead and that you never get to lay eyes, I'd want to hug. Not sure if I want to tongue kiss him right away, but I'm saying I'd have to refrain myself from physically interacting with that person, because you know you love that person. So that's what is not believable.
They had plenty of time earlier. They were planting weeds or what is it together? The corn or the wheat. They were planting wheat together and they were talking before. Well, that was the other thing. The timing of everything was so bad because, okay, that would have made sense at the very beginning when he first encounters her, where he goes, "Oh, you know, I've missed you. We've been about they've been talking and walking in the spa for a while."
He wanted to kill her when he first saw her. Remember? That's not her.
All that time,
and like slapped her or something.
Right, beat her down, and then you know, then after all this time, after he clearly knows it's not her, after all this emotional dialogue, now he's suddenly, and it's not like I want to find her in you or I want to get it. He just like grabs her and kisses her, and that was weird. And
but he's a man, and you're a man. I'm pretty sure
and
that's
as a man, I know. That's what I'm saying. I was like, oh no. Oh, it'd be like kissing your girlfriend's really cranky twin. That is not the same thing. You'd be like, no.
What about kissing your girlfriend's really hot twin? Really hot and positive twin. Yeah. So if she's cranky, no. But if she's hot and positive and steamy.
Well, wait a minute. Now, we're starting to qualify this in a way that's completely different than the film. Because she looked exactly the same, and she and the alien's attitude was not embracing of him. She didn't like him. She liked the other guy.
I know.
So she didn't
Why
give
are we
him
talking
any.
about this even more?
Because we're trying to find something here
I told you,
that
so if you want to see how this is done awesomely, watch the new Outer Limits.
you keep saying what episode
Second Soul is the
second
name of
soul.
it. It was first broadcast April 14th, 1995, and it's called Second Soul, and it was a really good episode, and it had Ray Dawn Chong in it,
Oh,
and
I did see that one. Yes, I remember. That was so much better done. So much better. You're right. You're right. I got it now. I got it. I remember that one. Now, see, there you go. It was done in 95 on the second time of a TV series from the 60s. So, good going. Good going, Hollywood.
So we need to narrow this down to two.
All right, go ahead.
Are we going to try to go from three?
Oh, no, well,
This
okay.
is to you, Carl, because you're the mathy person.
How did I get to be the mathy person? All
or
right, well,
because
so
you like
one is by default the host. All right, one is by default the
okay,
host. So
so we need to
we got the host. We got the host. The question is it going to be After Earth or RIPD?
I say because RIPD did not have anything to do with aliens per se, that it w is disqualified.
I'll accept that. I
Really?
will accept that. I will accept that. I'll take that. The other thing that I will say is, remember, Turd is supposed to inspire something. All right, it's supposed to inspire. RIPD was so. I mean, it was actually more derivative than After Earth. I mean, it was clearly Men in Black. Just look at the posters. The look of the posters was it was clearly Men in Black. So with that level of derivativeness, it's not even rage worthy. It's not even rage worthy.
But you
So
wanted to get it in there so bad. I mean, like,
well,
from the
but
beginning, when
the
you first
problem
saw it, you had a rage on for it.
because it no nothing about it made sense for as a good movie. Nothing about it. M. Night being involved in it, the fact that
R.I.P.E.?
equally bad, which is why they're both on my turd list. Equally bad.
From the beginning, you had a rage on for R.I.P.D. So
That's
that's
because
why I
it's
know
the
you
same
wanted it to
thing.
be on this list, and you're disappointed, but you know.
But remember, neither one rose to the level of outrage I was expecting. See, that's my problem. That's the crazy bizarro twist of what we were experiencing here.
So
We're
I think
supposed to be.
another reason why we don't have the rage, Carl, is because we didn't pay money. Did we? We might have paid like rental fees to see this, but we didn't physically go out and see these in the theater.
Not enough.
So.
I know. I qual the fact that I didn't see it in the theater is not enough to make it rage worthy. I whether I see it at home or in the theater, my outrage is going to be the same. Yeah, that's the way I want to say that. So
Okay,
don't worry
you're
about
just
that.
trying to say, okay, so we have narrowed it down, and it's going to be between After Earth and The Host.
That's right. That's what we got again. That's
Okay,
what.
well, let's begin. Sci-fi turd off criteria. We have five qualifying things, and Carl, every year we kind of argue back and forth about how these actually work. We'll do that again because, yeah, we forget. So the first one is squandered effects, acting, question mark.
Acting? You have to do it with the hand in the air, question mark. Acting?
Turdage per dollar,
Yes.
fury upon exit, and
Yes.
which sequel would offend the least?
Oh, Jesus. These are bad. This is a mad genius came up with these, I tell you.
Okay, so squandered effects. We have After Earth, whose production budget is 130 million, and The Host, which is 40 million.
Wow. And they both end like in the woods or in the desert, just people running in the woods in the desert together. So that's a long way to go. Squandered effects.
I say After Earth because you didn't need the space in order to tell this story. It was an afterthought. Will Smith admitted it was an afterthought, which is why it wasn't well thought off and made an actual part of the film. And it didn't feel married to the film. So I think that while it was cool, oh damn. Well, let me think about the host because
So here's the
I
thing.
didn't really have any. I mean, it had cool cars and nice clothes, but
There were a very few effects in The Host. I mean, interesting ones, I'll put it that way. There are those little highlighting effects like
yeah, the ends.
the star field inside,
Yeah.
the alien launch pad, the alien leaving a body or entering a body, that kind of thing. But for the most part, yeah, we saw silvery helicopters and sparkly Lotus and pretty panoramas. So, yeah, that's a tough one. Squandered effects. I think I'm gonna have to agree with you and go with After Earth because look, a transforming stick, really? That's what you're gonna give us as your weapon.
What
And
was
it
the
just,
130 million spent on?
well, it was spent on the first 20 minutes of the film. It had a Lost in Space kind of feel to it, the new version. The ship and especially the crackers. Remember, there's an asteroid field. Wow, have we ever seen that in this? So the asteroid field crashes the ship, and then you got your what was it? Your wicker wiper blade. Remember, for some reason, it was so important that we watched that wicker window open and close, open and close. I'm like, what?
I was just like,
Yeah, that's enough. They were just letting us, that was the technology saying goodbye to us. Bye bye. That's the last bit you're gonna get in this movie. Bye bye. So,
His HUD was kind of cool, I guess.
yeah. Well, again, that's the hologram effect. So all of that was nice, but think about it. All that blazing special effects, and we're just watching a kid run through the woods. God, that's terrible.
So those effects were kind of squandered.
Yeah, especially for that budget.
Okay,
Yeah,
let's
okay.
see.
Acting?
Question mark.
All right, so now we're
Well,
gonna go with what you call is Will Smith and James acting
versus
because they were keeping it low versus what's our girl's name in The Host and her because remember she played two characters, so that's and the fact that she's got to be the benchmark for acting. Because remember, no one else other than our hunter later, who's the
Diane
sleeper,
Kruger, yeah, the
other
scene.
than she was a good-looking woman. I enjoyed watching her, but there was just nothing happening. Nothing. There was just nothing happening. So that
And then her
means
two boyfriends were kind of.
I told you, you couldn't even tell them apart. There was nothing happening. There was nothing happening with those guys.
Which acting was the worst?
See? That's our problem. So if you want to talk about Will Smith's range by toning it down, and Jaden's range by also not—I mean, you call it range. I just call it.
I didn't use the word range.
What did you say? You said Will Smith is stretching himself by not being exciting. I don't think
I mean, I
that's
didn't use the
not
word range.
okay. Well,
Okay,
that's
well,
very well.
but which one hurt the most, though,
Yes.
Carl?
Well, because we got a problem. Because first of all, it's not Will Smith that we're talking about. This is Jaden. So we've got to pit Jaden
Against that
against.
chick.
Yeah, what is her name? Come on,
Oh,
we
I'm
got to
sorry.
pit.
Her name is
It's something.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. Okay.
Saoirse.
So it's Battle of the Kids here. We got Saoirse. So it's Saoirse versus Jaden. In terms of acting chops, which I think they've got the age range here. We can work with this.
So I don't. Let's see. Have I seen this chick in something else? Let me see. This Saoirse. Chick I can't pronounce. The Host, Way Back, Lovely Bones. No, I did. Hell no.
Wait a minute.
Proof.
She was Hannah?
What?
She was Hannah? Wait a
Oh,
minute.
she was Hannah. I saw
Really?
Hannah.
I saw Hannah too. Wait, where
I
is she
didn't put that
from?
together.
No, me either. Where? Wait, is she American? Where is she from?
She's New York City.
Then what was up with the accent? What was wrong with the accent then? I was gonna give her some I was going to cut her a break because I thought she was European. Oh, man.
Her father's Irish.
Well, maybe she's... Okay, well, okay. So she
was
good.
In Ireland. She grew up
Okay, there you go. Okay, so she was good in Hannah. I thought that was good.
But Jaden was good in The Karate Kid.
Yeah, you keep bringing up Karate
Kid. I'm telling you, that was a good film. Like, people hate it because it was all different or whatever. But that dude made me cry. I felt his pain.
Look, you told me you felt his pain in After Earth. I'm not sure I can trust you, Jaden.
Well, this is different. Karate Kid is... I was kind of amusing you when I said I felt his pain in After Earth, but...
No one felt his pain in After Earth.
But as in comparison of the two, I think a part of his journey would move in from like Detroit to China and having to adjust, and then his single parent.
Woman, we are not talking about The Karate Kid here.
I'm just trying to qualify. Like, you thought she was good because Hannah, I thought, was kind of a bland film. Honestly, cried for Karate Kid because I thought, what's the actor's name?
Ralph Macchio?
No, son, I'm talking about the new one.
Pat Morita?
Oh, Jackie Chan. Shit.
Oh, Jackie Chan. Oh, really? He was in it. he was in The Karate Kid.
He was amazing, though. He was Pat Morita. He was. I'm telling you, you have to watch.
You are not selling this at all for me. I gotta tell you, I am getting less enthusiastic. Now I'm remembering why I didn't watch it before.
It was good. It was like if you had like a soft heart that day, and you was just like, "Aw, look at this! He's so cute." And
can we stay on topic, please? We are talking about the host in After Earth here.
But I'm just saying, because we were talking about Sarcy or whatever, and her name, and Hannah, and we're trying to see what else they've done, and if they are indeed, in fact, good actors. And if something just happened in these films that are turds. Okay. So that's why we're talking about these two films.
All right.
So it doesn't look like we're going to be able to use...
No. It's not, the past lineage is not helping us here. Acting? So the device of the voiceover was just patently horrible. And I mean, we understand what they were trying to do, but the delivery of it in the host was so bad. But can we call that bad acting?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I don't know, like, do I want to see Jaden and Will Smith put me to sleep, or do I want to hear her voice again?
Yeah, knock me out. I'm going with Will and Jaden. Knock me out, because I think her inner dialogue was just horrible.
It was terrible. So the worst acting is going to the host.
The host. Are you writing this down?
Yes, I am writing it down.
Okay.
So Turdage per dollar, number
one. Easy. That one's easy. That one's easy. Or After Earth. That'll make no sense, the budget of that.
And to add insult to injury here, the total domestic gross for the host was $26 million. Its production budget was $40 million. And let me look up After Earth again, because let's see, box. After Earth, it was, of course, you know, it made it. The production budget was $130 million. Domestic gross, $60 million.
Wow.
So
the idea is not...
Or the host made... Well, yeah, I know the idea isn't about that, but I'm just talking about it since we have these numbers up. The host made more than half back, and then the After Earth did not make more than half back domestically.
Well... seeing as it took all of three people to do that, for seeing the host, you know, all it took was three people going to see the host and they break even. But no, Turdage per dollar is clear. Yeah. Because per dollar, You know, there was actually, you know, some interesting stuff to see in The Host. And conceptually, by pulling from the Outer Limits, by respecting the good old classic sci-fi concept, conceptually, they did a better job of using what they had. After Earth was just rip off of everything uninteresting. I mean, it was just, it started not even being science fiction, and you could feel it.
Yeah.
Just After Earth's easy turdish per dollar.
Okay. So the fourth is Fury Upon Exit. This is
Yeah.
gonna be hard.
Yeah. Because I, like I said, we have the middling blandness of 2013. The meh equation has been embraced. And so my outrage is not that great for either of these films. They each had really, really just bad parts, but not enough to rank in the Fury range. You know, my fury tends to wander toward the dollars spent, because they could have used those dollars for a real science fiction film. As you know, I'm
The
starting to
Fury
feel.
kind of goes to this being a vanity project for father and son. The Fury also goes to director M. Night, who
Because,
did not pull the M. Night, which we don't
and
know
that.
which made it better or worse.
And what's crazy is my normal fury for M. Night isn't here because he, what is normally M. Night wasn't present in this film. It wasn't in this film. So,
I don't know if that made it better or worse.
well, it makes it less furious, is what I'm saying. Because, you know, it my pre-bias, my prejudice about M. Night being in this film was not. What I don't like about M. Night, I didn't see in this film. So
But I
that's
don't
the
know if that's good or
difference.
bad. I'm still
Well,
undecided
the thing is.
because what M. Night does, like, think about the crappening. That was infuriating from beginning to end.
Yes. And it, but it
And
had
like I still
M.
right
Night's
now I want to throw something like right now
it
thinking about
has M. Night's flavor of fury in it. You see, the fact that it's not there in After Earth, I'm just saying that part of the fury isn't there. It's missing the M. Night fury. And so, you know, that's
maybe
interesting.
the fact that they didn't use guns is the M. Night Fury.
Well, yeah, maybe, but but even so, that's nowhere near finding out, oh, they've been alongside of the interstate the whole time. That's nowhere near that level of
was
nonsense.
all.
Nowhere near that level.
Oh.
Okay, you know, that no. Water can kill them. Nowhere near.
Yeah,
That's the M. Night
that's.
twist. Just the fact they got a
Oh,
snake in this
God.
one. See,
Oh, not
she's
that
coming
one.
back, isn't it? It's coming
Oh,
back, right?
the second two, I was like, what is it? Oh,
Yes. Now you remember it. So
no.
that was my bias, which was not in After Earth. So that is why I was blandly surprised.
But this felt more like our first turd, which was Airbender, where they just kind of moved really slowly, and like defeating the enemy was just like
Yes.
you
Through
kind of calm
hitches,
down, you calm
sleep.
down,
Yes.
and you can just kill
I'm
it.
going to actually run around this villain. No special effects, mind you. Just running in a circle is my magical power.
Well, no, because you know you said as long as it took him to amass his power, you could have just like threw something at him and
You could
ran.
have walked away.
Yeah.
You could have just walked away. I am going to incant. Where did he go? Where did he go? I just gone. You seem busy, sir. I'll come back.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's kind of felt Airbender-ish here for After Earth. It looks like we're leaning somewhat
Yeah, towards
towards
After
After
Earth.
Earth. I'm not sure if it's Fury.
And the interesting thing is, it's kind of like stuff that's not in the film. It's what's making us furious, right? Because
More like
we got
frustrated.
yeah,
Frustration upon exit.
We've got blandness for both of these. So it's, you know, it's like Rage Against Oatmeal. You know, you just can't get it.
Vanilla ice cream.
Yes, I hate vanilla. You can't hate vanilla. Come on. You can be bored with vanilla. You can't hate it. There's no fury in vanilla.
Yeah, it just is.
And that's what we're doing. It's Battle of Vanilla is what we got going on here. We're just trying to figure out which one is it. Is it the Neapolitan vanilla or bean that is worse? Which is the worst?
I tend to like vanilla bean.
I do too. I could just try to.
It's a little bit more excitement.
It's got a flair. I know,
yeah, but
I couldn't think of any other vanilla variants. So look, work with me, woman.
Okay. All right. So After Earth, then, for Fury Upon Exit?
Because I can't think of anything with a host that is giving me that level of
the
response.
Only thing that was Fury, but we already got that. It was with the acting and the casting.
Yeah. Yeah. Casting? Who was the old guy? The old guy was completely.
Yeah, I was just like, is that Jeff Bridges? No, that wasn't Jeff Bridges. It wasn't Morgan Freeman. Who was it? I don't know.
Who's the old guy? We need to look him up real quick because he had the potential. His character should have been interesting. And it was William Hurt. William Hurt was in this movie. And so to have the potential.
Did I miss William Hurt? Was he doing voice?
No, William Hurt was the old guy who ran the cave world.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
Really?
That was William Hurt, yes.
How did I miss that?
Because you couldn't tell. Everyone blended into a vanilla pudding in the background. This is what I mean. If you can bland William Hurt, and he was trying to, I'll admit, there was a glimmer of interesting with him, but it was just, I mean, it,
I don't
it was
even
just,
remember him.
I told he was the old guy that
remember
just ran.
The old guy, but I don't remember that the old guy was him.
William Hurt. There you go.
It had to be somebody else.
What is wrong with you? Look at IMDb.
I know. I see him in the film, but I'm thinking maybe he was voicing a dragon or something because he couldn't possibly been in this film because him.
Yeah, nope. There you go. So that's what I mean. No one stood out in the background. They just
I was all up in him on the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
He's a great actor.
But yeah, obviously because he acts under.
Wait, but not John Hurt though. It's different. It did not seem.
Oh wait, who did we say?
William Hurt. William Hurt.
Who's William Hurt?
Look at IMDb. Go and look at his
John Hurt. Okay.
John.
That's what I heard you say. And I was like.
Oh, William. William Hurt.
Who the hell is William Hurt?
Well, you look him up. When you see him, you'll be like, oh, now it makes sense.
Oh, that guy.
See, that's what I was waiting for. Right. There you go.
Oh, he was in Dark City. I need to watch that again. It was such a great film.
Oh, yes. That's good.
Kiefer Sutherland. Man, that's when Kiefer was like, whoa, he's always, whatever. Anyway,
you focus. So William Hurt.
Because I was just, because I just couldn't believe you that I would miss an entire Hurt. John Hurt.
William, the voice would have given it away if it was John. Yes, we would have known. In a time of no, and we need to talk about Merlin, but go on.
Oh, yes. Jesus, no.
No. All right, so.
Fury upon Exit, we're going to go with After Earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
For all the things that are not in the movie, the fury is surrounding After Earth, strangely.
Which sequel would offend the least?
Oh, jeez. Well, there's nowhere to go with After Earth.
there's nowhere to go with freaking...
No. I can make it work. I can make a sequel to the host work. I can make that one work. There is because we still don't know what happened to the possessed humans on Earth. We still don't know if the aliens have decided to leave or not. We still don't know if the battle goes on between The
Stephanie Meyer is not capable of writing that story. If the story would be this time, instead of a girl and a triangle between two guys, it'll be a guy and a triangle between two girls.
That sounds kind of interesting.
Shut up.
Which busty blonde will he choose? The one that was his girlfriend?
Between two bland brunettes?
No. The guy can be bland. But the two girls have to be hot.
The girls are going
to
look just...
No, because look at the... The two triangle people have to be hot. But the person who's trying to decide for them, you have to wonder, why would anyone even want that person? That's how the triangles work in Twilight. So you gotta match the scenario. So, but anyway...
She didn't match the scenario in this one.
Yeah, it does.
No,
but,
they didn't.
I'm just going to say that I think maybe the ladies might have found the guys attractive, and they could have found the girl relatable, much like when you're watching Twilight. Now, as a guy, when I'm watching Twilight,
now.
And you're looking
what is
at
with you guys,
and you're looking at the girl. And you're going, really? Those two dudes are fighting over? Really? That's just no.
Get it?
That is that. That so
they don't even really have a personality either.
No.
So really, what is?
That, so happening? You see. So what happens is you've got the triangle two are supposed to be like the hot ones, and the one in the middle, you're like, who? Why? Why are they even in a triangle? Why are people? So that's why I said it would be two hot girls.
So I think maybe because they just was like. Oh, I like her, and I'm going to have her, and you're not going to have her. So it became a thing to fight over her between these two guys, and they really don't like her at all. What if that was the case?
Okay, well, do you want to know what it really is? You want to know what it really is?
What?
Okay. What it really is the main character has got to be, relatable to all girls. If they made her too hot, then, they'd be like, she thinks she all that. I don't think she has to be like, every person. She's got to have certain sort of a relatable, comfortable quality about her.
I don't relate to her.
No one should really, but that's the idea as well. And so what's happening, what that's saying is that, you can be just your average girl and land two crazy hot guys. And be caught in that difficult situation. So you see, that's what's happening. You're supposed to be relatable to the person in the center, and the fantasy is this really hot, guy.
What are we talking about?
We were going back and forth between the parallel if we were creating the sequel to The Host, and I was arguing.
I just wanted to make sure you knew what you were talking about.
I do, and I was arguing that your two outside characters have to be hot, but the one in the middle. Can be bland and ordinary. That so when I was saying in the sequel, you said it was two girls and a guy. I said, well,
I didn't say that was what the sequel actually was. I said maybe it might be instead of your great proposal for a story is learning about the aliens, where did they go, the fight for human and mankind, and
because that would be just a terrible idea for a science fiction story instead of a love triangle. Yes, but the point is, at least there's some material there for a sequel. Let's try it with After Earth. Where are we going to go? Anytime. Father and son, on.
Well, maybe look,
we can
go on the planet and we can see the internal politics of how that world works.
Yes,
and maybe there'll be a battle.
A trade we'll battle of some kind, perhaps.
Oh, like a trade negotiation?
Yes.
Maybe they have it. But we'll get to see the inner workings of their military and see what type of if they have Starfleet or a Federation of some sort, and maybe if they have a space station with a captain and he has a bald head with a goatee,
I don't know. What I think
and there's a wormhole.
They should hang out in their canvas and wicker houses on what looks like a Mars-like scape, you see. They're going to hang out there and watch all of the interesting life that develops around them. And maybe, you know, maybe on occasion, they'll take some kind of a transporter back to Earth, back and forth, and just, you know, have fascinating tales of what they experience. Wouldn't that be nice?
No.
See, there is no sequel to After Earth. There's no sequel to After Earth. No.
But maybe it could be like a sideways sequel where they're using the environment and the world, but there's not a Will Smith or a Jaden Smith, but we're seeing different people with the same wicker space aesthetic, and we're seeing trade negotiations.
Yes,
and
yes, the trade negotiations could be a battle of recyclables on this planet. Yes, I see where you're going now. This is very exciting stuff. No.
Okay.
No. You see, yeah. On this planet, they mix the paper and aluminum. Mm. No, they're not going to go.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't want to see a whole sequel, but I really don't want to see an After Earth sequel.
Offend the least.
Offend the least is the only criteria. So, the host would offend the least, so After Earth would offend the most.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess the one with the most votes is After Earth.
Okay, read them off. What we got?
Okay, so Squandered Effects is After Earth.
Yep.
Acting ? Is the host.
Yeah.
Turdage per Dollar is After Earth. Fury Upon Exit, After Earth.
Yeah.
And which sequel would offend the least is the host, which means After Earth would offend the most.
Yeah. There you go.
Our turd is... Announce our turd, Carl.
For 2013, our official sci-fi potted line turd would be After Earth. Thank you, M. Night. Thank you for gracing us with your presence once again.
Oh, I fought for After Earth so hard. Like, I really didn't want this to be our turd.
Why would he do
this? I thought that maybe something else would be equally horrible. And I mean, there were some other things that were really bad, but I really fought for After Earth because I wanted to be positive. But, you know...
Now, even with M. Night not being M. Night, it still is the turd of the year. How'd that happen?
So, we have two turds in the history of Sci-Fi Party Line where it's M. Night.
M. Night's the principal. That's right. Yeah. Right. His second time.
Yeah, his first being Airbender. If you forgot. Or was it Skyline?
What,
was in the lineup. I don't know who won that year, but
he was in the lineup.
Who did we pick that year? I think we picked Skyline.
I probably would have, but remember, we went through a very, you know,
you did. Serious, so this was just quite rigorous as well.
Oh man,
I fought you.
I just
wanted to be sure that we weren't prejudging it based on M. Night and Will Smith, and was just giving it
a fair shake. I agree.
I really want to tease out of you all of the information that went into your decision.
It was a legitimate concern, and I just want to be clear because you called me grumpy and all that. But I want you to know, I really give every single one a fair shot. I do. You know, I can recognize when something's a bad idea, but I still sit through it. And I will admit. RIPD, not as bad as I thought. After Earth, not as bad. And it was bad for different reasons than I expected. So, you know, I will give it a shot, but don't make me right. I don't want to see crappy films. I want these things to be good. How are you going to mess up a film with Will Smith like this, with a budget like this, and Will Smith? Come on. Really? Why do that?
And I want, if they're going to be good, but if they're bad, I want to know. You know, I want to just really know Fury Upon Exit. I want to know. I don't want to get bored to death and just like bask in mediocrity.
It's a raging meh.
Yeah.
Aging meh. So that, and but see that, we go through our list. We went through all the lists of movies for 2013. And I'm telling you, that is the bizarre theme of 2013. Just this sort of middling okayness about the film. Nothing.
Pacific Rim was my favorite.
It was a close second, but it was a close second. But, you know, I told you I had reservations about it. But it was a close second for me. I think for classic sci-fi that I hadn't seen in a while, Oblivion delivered with a unique twist. It had the twist. It had the visuals in it. I'll give Pacific Rim a close second. It was a close second for me.
Ender's Game was pretty good. Thor, of course, was magnificent. And Star Trek Into Darkness, I didn't hate it. I only saw it once.
That's my point.
I didn't feel compelled to see it five times like I did the first one.
That's all I'm saying. How you gonna year? Come on.
I wouldn't say that was a bad reason. I'd say I was kind of broke.
Mm.
But like, if you know, I was really into it. I'm pretty sure I would have like just went out with some random guy just to go see it again, like torture myself like that. Just like, ooh, hey boy, would you take me to see Star Trek again? Thank you.
Enjoyable. I'll say Thor. I agree. Thor was fun.
You better enjoy it.
No, stop. But I think. but remember, I said as a sci-fi film.
Ender's Game was good.
Well, it was good, but I don't think it was as good as Oblivion. I don't think it was as good as Oblivion.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as intense as the book.
Nope.
And I think we're missing out on some sci-fi with The World's End. And I really want to know what made Riddick so meh.
Yeah.
But the rest of these are fine, like Star Trek Into Darkness and Iron Man 3.
You see, but that's what I mean. Look, this is my point. It's just like everything was. Yeah, it was fine. I wasn't offended by the movie. It was okay. I saw it once. That is not what you want to see when you're cranking out $140 million for a film. That's not the response that you want. And that's what I'm concerned about, because you know, if your generic fill in the blank hero is going Ryan Reynolds and sidekick and Scarlett Johansson, and you know, we're just going to put people in there, that's not casting.
Wow,
anymore.
Iron Man 3 made double its production budget of $200 million.
Was that
and domestically? It made $409 million. Foreign, it made $806 million.
That's some
worldwide
cash.
Billion.
That's some cash right there. That's
so wow.
Yeah, Iron Man had to, but I mean, it's just one of the movies. It had to make that kind of money. It had to. But it was still okay.
Let's see your favorite, Oblivion, $120 million.
Respectable. What was the budget?
That's the budget.
Oh, okay. Well,
domestic gross, $89 million.
Yeah.
Didn't make its money back domestically, but it did foreignly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Overseas. Let's go with overseas. Yeah. Well, and Oblivion was quieter. You know, it's a quieter kind of film.
Well,
so
people are still kind of freaked out by Tom Cruise, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, that was, and again, with the casting thing. If they had maybe gone a different way with the casting choice, I think it might have done a little better. I don't think he didn't do a bad job, but, you know, people have, you know, some reservations about Tom Cruise. So
Star Trek made its money back, $190 million, but production budget, domestic gross, $228 million. Worldwide is $467 million.
Yeah, not bad.
It didn't do as well as Iron Man did overseas.
Well, look, Iron Man, that's going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, but Iron Man, it was all right, you know. You know, I mean, I didn't hate it.
See, that's the raging endorsement of 2013.
Like, is it so? It's not us. Are you sure we're not just too old and have seen everything? Or like, but I was still excited about Pacific Rim. Like, that was my favorite.
Yeah, well, it was good. It was good. It was good.
Man of Steel barely made it. $225 million production. Domestic total gross, $291.
Yeah,
So
it
it
was.
barely made it.
I think it was just the darkness of it that maybe put some folks off. It was a dark film. Just the mood of it, the way it looked and everything. That grayness is a lot. It's a lot to
I
take.
kind of, you know, I enjoyed that though about it.
It's moody and it definitely sets a place in an environment. But hey, when Krypton looks a lot like Earth in terms of the grayness, you're like, well,
Well, I don't know, folks. That's our third show, our
Man.
fifth anniversary. Yeah, it's super late, and you know,
Not for
are we
me.
excited or?
Let's hope 2014 brings us
Do you know
more
any of
highs and
films that's
lows.
coming out this year? Do you
I'm
have
not
a
sure. I'm not sure.
list?
There's something I kind of wanted to see, but I can't remember what it is right now.
That doesn't sound well.
Well, no, but it'll come to me. I think there's a good time travel movie coming out this year that I wanted to see. I can't remember what it was though. I think I just
Oh,
saw it.
X-Men.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. Now that's not the time travel movie I
It is
was
time
thinking.
traveling, though.
Listen, I'm just saying that's not the one I was thinking about.
Legend of Heracles. Oh, sorry. Hercules. Jack Ryan. Shadow Recruit. Black Coffee.
That's it. Oh, I think I'm talking about Edge of Tomorrow. Oh no, that's not it.
I
But that's
Frankenstein.
wow. Is Edge of Tomorrow a time travel movie too? Jeez, that's another one. Okay, well there you go. Edge of
What's
Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow? That
Oh, look it
sounds
up.
like
Look it up.
freaking Star Trek episode.
Surprisingly enough, it stars Tom
Tom
Cruise.
Cruise!
See, I
Oh,
can't get away from it.
Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
Oh, jeez. Is that coming out this year? Really?
June 14th,
Oh, man. Well, at least it doesn't
2004.
have. I'm just glad Shia's not in it. I'm so tired of Shia.
But it's starring Marky Mark.
There you go.
Was she?
I've got a
Okay.
good vibration about that.
Okay. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Okay, well, I saw the previews. That looks good. I wasn't a big fan of Amazing Spider-Man 1. It was okay. But man, the previews for Spider-Man 2 look good. Did you see them? Did you see the
No, I
previews?
haven't, but
Oh.
because I wasn't excited about the first. I mean, I liked it.
Yep.
But so I Frankenstein is coming out, and it has that guy that looks like my cat. What's his name?
Who?
Aaron A. Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, what? You think your cat looks like it? Okay, I'm not even. Oh, Dawn of Planet of the Apes. Yes.
Oh,
Yes,
a
I want to
dog
see
product.
that. I
Okay.
do want to see that.
Let's see.
Captain America.
Sinbad. Oh yeah, Captain America.
Captain
RoboCop.
America. Okay.
Nurse 3D. What the fuck is? I don't know what that is. Vampire Academy. Girl on a bicycle. What is that? Pompeii. That's not a gonna be an ex. Well, it's gonna be depressing because we are.
Tomorrowland.
Really?
Tomorrow. Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. That's 2015. Let's back it up. See, I'm jumping ahead with space.
Tomorrowland.
Let's jump ahead. But so.
Nymphomaniac Part One.
Yeah. All right. Did you find the time travel one? What is it?
You said it was Edge of Tomorrow.
No, that's another, yet another time travel. But there's one more. There's sort of like a
X-Men.
low. No, there's another one. There's a lower budget one that's coming out.
Want to see that? Because that sounds like some Fury Upon Exit.
Well, but see, I'm going to give him a shot.
22 Jump Street, because the first one was funny.
That is not sci-fi, woman. Come
Okay,
on.
sorry. Another Hercules, two Hercules, Jupiter Ascending. That's what you wanted, right?
I don't think so. That doesn't sound right.
But it has the word Jupiter.
Oh,
And it's
okay.
about the Wachowski brothers. Wachowskis.
The Wachowskis in it. That's right. That's right. Okay. All
Man,
right.
just, oh, I know better than that. Anyway,
Okay, I got
Guardians
it.
of the
So,
Galaxy.
okay, the movie I'm thinking about is called Welcome to Yesterday. Welcome to Yesterday is the movie. All right.
To yesterday, and then Edge of City on the Edge of.
See, that's why I was getting confused, but Welcome to Yesterday is
So
the
what
one.
did, was it Edge of Tomorrow? Is
No,
that going to be based on City on the Edge of Forever? What, I don't.
you're not helping
Does
me. I'm having enough trouble keeping them apart as it
it.
is. Don't do it. Oh, and don't forget, Transcendence is coming out.
What is that now?
That's the one. Well, you're supposed to be following my Twitter feed, bro. That's the one with the
Like
with
2,000
John.
people.
But I'm special. You need to be following. That's the one with Johnny Depp as the AI scientist that is trying to build a super AI, and things go awry.
Didn't we see that one with Will Smith?
What? Oh, you think about iRobot? This one is a little bit different. It's a little bit different. A little bit different.
Okay, so we got what else? Expendables 3, Sin City,
Okay.
Game to Kill 4. We have Resident Evil 6. Jesus.
Oh man. Listen to our enthusiasm on jeez.
Dracula Untold, Interstellar. What is that?
Oh yeah, that's the farmer's space movie. Because we already saw Astronaut Farmer, so I.
Astronaut Farmer.
Okay, there was a movie called The Astronaut Farmer, which is about a farmer who used to be a NASA scientist and built a rocket. Well,
Well, is it a movie
Interstellar.
about the farm or is it a movie about space?
I don't know yet. They both were about both. You see, because it was a
I
farmer and there was a.
can't, like, that's blowing my mind right now. I can't even understand what you're
Well, you
talking
need to wrap your mind around. Wrap your mind around, because just like Kirk was
But
from was
Interstellar.
Iowa, but he was also that's where they built the Enterprise. So you got to deal with it. You got to work with it. Cornfields and spaceships—they go hand in hand.
I can't.
Yeah, tough. So when you see the previews, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll see cornfields. You'll see rockets. You'll be like, "What? What's going on?" I don't
No,
know.
no,
Don't know.
no,
But
no,
you'll see.
no.
So yeah, that's. I
Yeah,
don't know what it means.
yeah. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
Wait, part one? There's gonna be four Hunger Games movies?
Have no, yeah.
Oh, stop this.
And The Hobbit There and Back Again.
All right, one more.
Freaking Night at the Museum 3.
Oh no.
The second one wasn't that bad. Something called Box Trolls. I don't know.
I think we're starting to scrape the bottom of the sci-fi barrel here.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah, so there's some things to look forward to. I don't know if I'm excited about anything other than X-Men, and maybe some. Maybe I'll get what's the turd? I mean, I don't know. Maybe RoboCop. What do you want to do some predictions here?
Well, geez, I got nothing to work with. I really haven't seen enough. I am very wary about RoboCop, though. I am very wary about RoboCop. I'm gonna tell you. I want to be pleasantly surprised. I'd like to see a cool, updated version of RoboCop. I don't think that is what we're going to get. So.
Was pretty pumped up about the trailer that I saw, but then y'all like pissed in my Kool-Aid and said, "Well, you didn't see the first trailer."
We pretty much crapped all over it. It's true. Because we saw the first one. So that'll be your lesson. If you need to go see the first one.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Is that really coming out this year?
Yeah. I
Oh.
have not seen that, and I'm not gonna see it.
What next? The next Super Mario movie, brother? Super Mario Brothers sequel? We're gonna do that?
Yeah, no, so we're done here, aren't
Yeah.
we?
I think so. I think
So
so.
if you thought we missed a turd and you really want to get it out, I'm sorry.
You want to say relieve yourself? Is that what you were going for there? Is that it?
Give us some feedback. Give us a call about our anniversary. Wish me a happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, babe.
Anniversary. 773-336-2686. We want a voicemail, Charles. You haven't left us one, a crazy voicemail. Or maybe there's a voicemail and I just don't know it because I haven't checked it.
Okay.
So let me know if you send a voicemail when you send it, so I can check it. We have a website, you know. You can leave comments there. It's scifipartyline.com. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus and Stitcher Radio. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Have a much better 2014, folks. Come on. Come on. Turds or epic movies, just make it better in 2014. Do this.
If it's a turd, make it an epic turd.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Welcome, welcome. It's the wee hours. Time to party. What's wrong?
It's midnight.
Yes, that's when the party starts.
It's close to midnight.
It's close to midnight, and something freaky's moving in the dark.
That's not the way the lyrics go.
It does, because I'm doing the hand motion right now. I'm doing the doctor hand.
I can hear you. I can hear you.
I'm in it.
Hee hee.
End of line.